All right, now, I got to ask you this. I know as well as you know that there are a lot of people who like the spotlight. Yes, the spotlight is one of their favorite friends. And they look for it. They find ways to get the light to shine on them. I'm just curious. How many of you, even if you're not that excited about the spotlight right now, want to be remembered long after you've left this earth? Long after you're gone, you want to be remembered, remembered, remembered. And you're thinking, wow, you know what? I really want to do something to get this to happen. Well, let me share with you some of the things that one of the writers with BBC discovered about this whole thing about being remembered. You know, as we continue to look into the future from a different angle, there was a bare knuckle fighting champ. Y'all remember when boxing was all about fist to face and they weren't wearing gloves? It was just bare knuckles, bare fists. Well, this is back in that day. We're in England. Gentleman's final match, which he fought largely one-handed in the Hampshire field. It was watched by thousands of people. They had special trains that were chartered to transport the spectators, who included fellow Victorian superstars like the novelist Charles Dickens and William Thackeray. Even the Prime Minister of that day, Lord Palmerston, was there to watch that fight. Parliament actually shortened its hours, and Queen Victoria asked to be informed of the result. This was some fight. When this boxer died just a few years later, the funeral procession stretched for 2 blocks, right? No. This man's funeral procession stretched for 2 miles and included 100,000 people. Imagine that now. What do you number of people attending funeral today? 100,000 people stretching for 2 miles. The cemetery descended into chaos as people climbed up trees and trampled tombstones, trying to get a better view. 150 years later, his reputation has turned to dust. He's still well known to history buffs and to people who are kind of, you know, really into boxing, but to the rest of the world, really don't know who he is. The steady march of time has left many other similar casualties in its wake. People who have risen to dizzying heights of fame, only to be largely forgotten. There's the Greek poet Sappho, whose steamy verses titillated audiences for much of antiquity. The verses, some people would say, were so enchanting that one Athenian lawmaker said that he felt that once he'd heard them, he could die. That sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? How about the celebrity gladiator Spiculus, who roamed the amphitheaters of ancient Rome? The Emperor Nero was particularly enamored with this man, and when he sensed that his own murder was imminent, he requested that Spiculus be the one to actually take him out instead. Mean Nero, realizing that his days were numbered, and rather than have it come up on him, slip up on him, catch him off guard, hey, do me a favor. You do it. Let my man, Spiculus, gladiator, famed gladiator, be the one to kill me. Why are some people almost instantly forgotten when they've gone, while other people just seem to stay with us? Their memory, the memory of who they are, the memories of what they accomplished, just stay with us, embedded into the culture. They're still being psychoanalyzed. People are still writing about their lives. What's going on? Well, hopeful contenders for everlasting fame have got to run the gauntlet of numerous challenges, including the jealousy of rivals and possible extinction of their own civilization and language. But there are some clues hidden in the life stories of those who succeeded at being remembered, as well as those who were lost along the way. Check this out. One of the things they say that needs to be done in order to be remembered, long after you're gone, is to manage your image, but not too much. A fitting place to begin the search is ancient Greece, where achieving everlasting glory was a national obsession. Professor Thomas Harrison says that really, the ancient Greeks were very, very focused on fame. And in a funny way, it wasn't embarrassing to say that you wanted deathless fame of different sorts, so people talked about it rather more explicitly. At the center of it all was the concept of kleos, which roughly translates as what others hear about you. It was popularized by the poetry of Homer, which has itself endured for thousands of years and is earned by taking great risks and making great sacrifices, especially in battle. Homer's hero Achilles, who died after being shot in the heel, is the archetypal example. At one point, military leaders were undertaking wars with a specific purpose of getting glory. Can you imagine them deciding, hey, you know what? I definitely want to be famous. I want my name to be associated with glory. And so the way I'm going to bring that about is I'm going to fight some wars. Now, does that mean a lot of men are going to be killed in the process of helping me find the everlasting glory that I want? Yes, that's exactly what it means. But that is a great price to pay, a small price to pay in order for me to be remembered forever. As you might expect, some big names were more than a little preoccupied with the idea of fighting wars in order to receive fame and glory. For example, Alexander the Great ruled the kingdom of Macedon from 336 to 323 BC, expanding it from mainland Greece and a scattering of Mediterranean islands to a global power that stretched all the way to northwest India. Oh, that man was a fighter. Julius Caesar, a master of self-promotion. Hey, as we talk about people wanting to be remembered forever and we talk about self-promotion, does anyone come to mind now? Current people, not just historical figures. Julius Caesar, master of self-promotion, whose advanced propaganda machine included a troop of historians who accompanied him on campaigns. They were kind of writing the history of his campaign as it was happening. He reportedly only authorized one sculptor to carve his portrait and carefully planned the details of any likenesses that appeared on coins. That strategy has continued well into the modern age, where it's used by presidents and pop stars. But those hoping to be remembered should tread carefully. Today's celebrities, like Bono, are undergoing a degree of reassessment, according to Chris Rojic, who's a sociologist. The fact that marketing is much more involved in creating these figures means that the social criticism that surrounds them is far more entrenched than it used to be. All right, I'll be back.